The waters of the lake are ever placid, and walking around on the path, it's easy to find little boats that have been left by the shore. They come in all varieties, and generally those who hang around the lake long enough don't need them anymore. The exception are the fetish cultists. Those who wear robes and live on islands within the lake, who manage to remain mostly unchanged by the power of Mareth, except that they absorb it. And you've met them before. Walking around here, it's hard not to. And the peculiar thing about the islands in the lake they come from is that once you set foot on them, things tend to get a little hazy. It's very easy to get pulled into that world. As sun beats down on you, and you look across the lake to a particular isle you have in mind, it is not lost on you that you may have difficulty remembering this encounter as well. Stepping into the boat, seating yourself, beginning to row gently, a repetitive, simple motion. You reflect whether it would be more titillating to keep failing to remember, or to suddenly start remembering both times before and times to come. The tower looms over the little island that is your destination. Strange that you hadn't seen it before, but the fog can be quite mysterious around here. For example, just now, the sunlight stains it gold, just briefly. Or was that your eyes taking on a golden hint from within? No way to know. That bit isn't important. You're being drawn in. Your mind is guiding you in familiar grooves, as if your feet feeling smooth and perfect already. Yes, you think you catch a shimmer out of the corner of your eye as your feet touch a golden sand beach. A flash travels across your mind in that place, mystical and strange. Your vision becomes matte gold for a moment, like a curtain drawn across the mind. And from the gold emerges memory, brief and powerful, like a hand from the sands to reassuringly touch, guide, direct. A hand touching the nape of your neck, tying a silk ribbon into place to keep something sheer and beautiful tied to your body. Fabric magnificent, a complement to other more glorious things. And then it fades, as if the sand and surf and sunlight had dragged the memory gently out of reach. You try to reach for it, and a shiver of pleasure answers. Your mind has built a wall of pleasure around that particular memory, but the femininity of it was unquestionable. Indeed, you see through the haze of gold and white. Yes, maybe the sand is white or silvery. You have no idea why you saw gold, but you do not mind. You see through the haze of gold and white that this place feels gentle, lithe, agile, curved. Your foot presses down in the sand, makes a little indentation, footprints left behind that will be washed away later on. Far ahead of you, you see the tower, a path leading up to it. You have a flash of imagery, laying relaxed, warm, and soft, a bed with silken hangings, a four-post bed fit for a queen, and indeed she feels like one, though she prefers princess, a girl. In a tower, a woman with hair, the long silver you keep thinking of. Of course, the white beach sand would never be the same beautiful silvery white purity of her hair. Doesn't matter. Thinking of either color draws you in, makes this home in a way. You feel strangely welcome to a home you have not known. The path is white stones up to the tower. The banners that festoon it are in many colors. You pick out a limited number today to focus on as you draw nearer. On every visit, you pick a different set of colors, colors that suit the day and the mood and your needs. So much can be communicated in something as simple as a color. and there are some constants in the palette of your mind. Even the color of the brightly shining doorknob sets you on edge with desire. Desire to go where she will take you. You stare at it before you touch it. It's not like you can help it. Your mind has been turned into a machine for feeding certain colors and certain concepts into your mind. You stare, and swirls of sunlight on the doorknob move in little circles, minute spirals, drawing your attention, casting the rest of the world away, leaving you standing resolute, determined to continue. And continue you do. Yes, spirals where it's difficult to locate the center, the warmth of the beach left behind, the cool stones of the tower beckoning you. Your eyes follow the line, swirling inward, pulling you in. You realize your arms are slack by your sides, your mouth hangs open. You know that from the outside you must have the zombie-like look of one mesmerized and bound. You have brief thoughts of simply staring at the spirals in the gold of the doorknob, groaning and moaning in the ghost of your purpose. But instead, rather than lose yourself, you find yourself and the kernel of resolve that says, in her arms, you will be safe and loved, and you feel drawn in that peculiar magical thinking that arrives in your mind, and you simply know. You have insight, epiphany. You will enter, and you will be complete. Your arms still slack and relaxed, your legs completely limbered. You sway side to side in the pleasure, a cobra staring at prey, but you are staring at what will prey upon you in all the best ways. You find resolve in your struggling limbs. You bring your hand up to the doorknob. Then you hear the click. The entrance is seldom touched except by merchants, couriers, mages. It took cleverness to get in the first time. Wait, what first time? Yes, at first you had to work to be here, but then it took only instinct to proceed. Now your instinct is to proceed. But of course you have not been here before. The door opens, pushed inward without creak, and indeed without a clear hinge. You knew it was a door, knew where the handle would be. Someone whose internal compass followed logic or ordinary reality might have failed to see it as a door. Maybe they see a mountain. Maybe they see nothing at all. But you are privileged to see this tower. And you follow your instincts. Your compass is different. The moment you set foot inside, a warm, feel-good sensation permeates your body, your mind, leaves your entire form feeling at home. You visit this place, stepping through the door. First time, standing in a lobby illuminated by lanterns, shaded in gold. Mimicking the sun outside, casting astounding spiral patterns across the stones, onto the walls, into your mind. The patterns would normally be more scattershot, but you know the secret. You can find a spiral in anything, and once you find an image to train you, something about that place flows through you, aids the training, leaves you dazed and vacant. This is a place of trance, of outside control, of listening pleasure. You see, nearby, a woman, severe but feminine, in simple brown robes, over armor beneath. A guard. She is near the foot of a curving stairwell that runs up the inside of the tower. And she simply looks at you. Gestures toward the stairs, indicating you are allowed to go upstairs. You do not move, though, and the guard quirks her head to one side and approaches you. You notice she's wearing golden stockings under the robe, but something seems wrong about that. Something about those golden stockings could be improved, made even better. Oh, they are beautiful. They fetchingly offset the shape of her leg. You admire the pretty femininity. You even feel it flow into you, making you feel attractive just by being near her. You have a feeling in your mind, though. Stockings should be silver. The moon, not the sun. White or silver on the water, silver in your mind. You want to tell her that. The want comes from both you and from this place, from the ruler over the tower above, her will. The guard really is quite pretty. She gets closer. Well, she would be quite pretty without the cowled robe concealing everything. You know she has a job. She's guarding something. Something the lady above wants. So when the guard approaches you, surprised that you didn't just go upstairs as so many others might, you look into her eyes. They were a very pretty hazel before today. But you've been seeing spirals since you reached this tower, and you see the woman in front of you and her eyes as something that could use a few spirals. She stares into your eyes. You are so full of simple instinctual control, so full of colors. Gold and silver are all that exist inside your mind and in your eyes. You see yourself reflected as her eyes cease being beautiful hazel. First a spiral forms in the pupil, then spreads, a spiral of light. One thread is white, and the next is gold. The next is white, then gold. It unfolds like a flower, spreads, spinning. You see her hands fall slack by her sides, zombie-like. Then they regain enough tension for her to run them over her own stocking-clad legs. She bends over. Her hands push between her legs. She whimpers. A single word escapes her lips. Mistress. And that's who you're going to see next. The twitching movements of climax have already arrived on her tensed face. The cowl falls back in a beautiful fall of gold hair, shading gradually to silver already. Unleashes behind her. As the guard falls, holding against the stone wall with one spare hand, the other industriously, slickly investigating the previously untouched space between her legs. She whimpers. She runs her hand over her stockings, back between her legs. She loses herself to twitching, constant, compulsive, masturbatory release. And it is good, as her eyes spiral her down, and she begins to change. You, the vector for change, letting her become what she would have been all along, if she'd only known how good it will be. You're aroused by this, of course, but it's more important that you keep being a vehicle for the princess in the tower. Keep being the agency by which power flows into these vessels. You note with satisfaction that the blank, drooling, masturbating guard still has gold-silver spirals for eyes, and in your mind you hear 3, 2, 1, deeper, and your entire body feels wonderful, guided and puppeted along, spirals filling your head, as the guard's stockings slowly lighten from gold towards silver, just like her hair. The longer she touches herself, the lighter they get. She will be in touch with that feminine yearning at the core of her being from now on. You've done a good thing. The power of the guards to resist the lady above came from their resistance to touching themselves. It's so tenuous once you awakened those stockings, They used to belong to her, after all. They once changed color at nightfall. Eternal day must set eventually, even if the women here have bound the day to try and prevent it. The lady in the tower awaits. You walk past the twitching guard, leaning against the wall. Your mouth is still hanging open like hers. Your mind is still dazed. The wonderful 3-2-1 drift. Feeling of tranced obedience. Guiding you. Puppeting you along. And that's just fine. It feels so good. It takes effort to think with so much control in you. But you are loyal and will do this thing. That thought arrives unbidden, magically inserted, as if physical space were being made, your thoughts being levered aside and new ones pushed right in. You know everything will make sense in a little while. 100 steps up the tower, perhaps, or perhaps just a few more. You look past the stairs down the little hallway to where another guard stands. She advances. She sees something out of the corner of her eye. She looks right past you. She looks at the silver stockings on the other guard, and the space between the first guard's legs, where wet lips are being touched slickly by searching fingers. It is the slim silver stockings that steal your attention as well. As you look back, spirals of light where the golden lanterns have touched the air. They become spirals of light instead. Silvery moonlight. It spirals to drag the view inward toward the center of each spiral. The new coming guard is reaching between her legs now, spreading her stocking-clad stance. Holding a pillar for support. Her eyes see only silver. She's sweating, moaning, trying her hardest to resist. But by the time you dazedly walk past her, by the time you manage to drag your attention away from the first guard's silver stockings, the second has already surrendered. And is already turning, her hood thrown back, a long fall of gold hair shading to silver, a decently attractive face, but you know, a more beautiful figure awaits. And past that second guard is the thing that they guarded, the special bundle, which has never been up those stairs in a very long time. You see it there. Resting on a pedestal, the possessions of the mistress of the tower far above. You know in an intellectual way that it looks like a simple cloth bag. But a much larger part of your mind sends the intellectual part away, sends it away somewhere else in a way that feels peculiar, mechanistic, drug-like, puppeted. This is going to happen. With you or by you or through you, it must happen. You see white cloth, with gold ribbon tying it closed, shimmery, almost satin, almost perfect. That bag of possessions could only be more perfect if it were in her possession like you are. And so, it can only go so far from her, this bundle of tools. You know that. You reach out and place your hands. Sitting on a pedestal past those two masturbating guards was this. This silvery bag. It's the same fabric that the self-pleasuring guards are wearing on their legs now. Shimmery silver perfect. Touching it sends a warm shot of control up your arms to your brain, reminding you that you will be rewarded. And your conscious volition goes away somewhere, some deep submissive place inside of you. Dark lips. In your vision, you know her lips will be gold, her legs silver. You yearn for her. bare legs that must be covered. All these thoughts arrive. You will be rewarded. The words arrive, quiet but enthusiastic in your mind. Up the stairs you go, out past the two guards. They try to crawl after you, but their eyes are on the silvery bag you hold. The shimmering spirals of it drag your vision in. But the lady steers your feet, so even as you stare at the bag, the golden spirals from the lanterns on the walls turning to silver where they touch it, turning your eyes to melted glorious bliss. Your feet nonetheless find safe, easy steps up shallow, gentle stairs, gently curving. Her voice, a voice distant and echoing down the stairwell, arrives in your mind. Simultaneously, it comes from far above and from within, echoing through a hazy, prepared mind that has been deluged with spirals and control from the moment you arrived and began to slip 3, 2, 1 deep. The light in the stairway is spiraling in your vision. You realize the stairwell itself is a spiral, and you step, step after step. A voice in your mind. The closer you get to my voice and my presence, the more deeply you sink. You will arrive dazed and safe. Welcome home, pet. Welcome back, pet. Her words sound distant and a little cold compared to the beauty of her presence. You want. You anticipate. You arrive at a door with warmth spinning from behind it, washing over you, telling you you are there. A wooden door with no handle, but it swings open inward, away from you, unveiling. The moment you step in front of it, you hold out the bundle in front of you, arms zombie-like and outstretched, your eyes full of spiraling gold and silver light. The superimposed view of her bare, dark lips, the first thing you spot from across the room. She needs what you have. You feel so relaxed. Presence there is like being in a warm bath, a sauna washing away the impurities and leaving only your easygoing mind, your entire body deep. She is there. You're with her now. Seated at the opposite side of the room, staring into a mirror, she looks calm. Long, silver hair, dark black lips, unnatural but beautiful, monochrome beautiful, symmetrical like a statue, sculpted high cheekbones, elegant brow, every bit the perfect princess. Sunlight streams from above. This room is so very well lit with its glass skylight. Her silver hair is beautiful and it falls, long and alluring. She wishes for moonlight, you can tell. She wears brown robes, like the rest of them. She notices you. While the princess looked lost in thought a moment before, now, silver hair. The robes melt away. They blur in the air in a mass of spirals of gold, as if the spirals were washing them away and leaving. A dress. Elegant evening wear. Silver off the shoulder, a gold sash at her waist. But bare legs. Bare feet. All of her framed in gold. Her hair moves in unseen wind. You are pulled into her fantasy, her existence. You are captivated by how feminine, how agile she is as she dances out of her seat and toward you, crossing the space between, very slowly, in her twirling, wonderful way. Upon watching her agile and feminine movements, you realize in part of your mind that you've been feeling more lithe and dexterous since you got here. Smaller, in a way, as if the profile of your body, its flexibility, its grace, were increased. It's a good feeling. You're being made closer to her, more like her. That silver hair blows wistful, in wind you cannot feel, but you wouldn't doubt is there. She draws closer and closer. I had wondered when you might come back. I have been kept waiting. She's a few feet away, and her voice is peculiarly monotone. It lacks an enthusiasm you would have expected, considering what you're carrying. Then again, that kind of intellectual thought takes a lot out of you, and you feel your body and brain growing exhausted. You hold the cloth bundle out in front of you, groaning happily. The pleasure of being in her presence is overwhelming. It arrives quite out of sync with her conduct. Merely to look at her is to feel good. You watch her eyes. You watch for signs of hunger. Signs that she wants what you've brought her. But she shows none. The princess's black lips are not the smile you expected. They are flat, matte, deprived. You wish they controlled you, golden. But they move when she speaks, and that movement lures you in. You want to watch the glimmer of gold on her dark lips, but all you get is the gold of torchlight and sunlight instead. Watching her close her eyes and heave a deep sigh. She seems tired, exhausted. She's not as excited by the bundle as you thought she'd be. You watch one strand of hair blow to the side, past her face. She brushes it back into position. Her voice is impassive and monotone. It even sounds strained. So, my pet returns. Her flat voice. Then she continues. So, you've brought them to me. Good. You take a halting, heavy, drowsy, droopy, pleasant step forward. You extend the bundle toward her. She reaches out to take it from your arms and tosses it aside onto her bed. You're far too relaxed to be surprised, but you feel one of her arms wrap around your shoulders. There's a blur, and that wind is replaced by a very real sense of motion. She is very fast. She leans in toward your face, her voice right by your ear, a purr from just out of sight. You know, I was trying to restrain myself. I was trying to play the cool goddess, but damn, you're so pretty. Mine. She breathes hotly across and then play bites your neck, leaving the warmth of the sun, her sun, behind. Her voice is no longer monotone. It was all an act. She's excited. She made an announcement. You turn your face slightly. You see a huge grin on her porcelain face, one dimple in her right cheek, her hair hanging slightly disheveled, her eyes glowing and close. So close. The smile has even spread to her eyes. You feel warmth. You smell the spice of her hair as she nuzzles her face into your chest. She is very strong. She lifts you like you're nothing. Scoops one arm under your buttocks. Lifts you into her arms. You feel her against you. She's nuzzling like one might with a favorite pet. Which you suppose you are. But the way you feel held and safe. You feel very like she has called you. Her voice rings in your mind, instructing you that you are light, easy to carry, enjoyed, that you are pretty and appreciated. Come on, let's do you first. She raises her head eagerly from your chest, carries you to the bed. Light, effortless steps. You feel suspended and rocked in the air. This whole journey has been automatic, but now it's entirely out of your hands and into hers. At one point in her movement, she even spins gently in a circle. You surveil the room around you. You are rocked and held in the spiral of her as she spins, and your mind submits, surprised. But that just catches your mind off guard and makes you go deeper. She is magnificent. Her breasts press into your arm. Her face is right there, grinning, transfixed. That one dimple, those eyes that glow into your being. You shake your head, barely managing to. You groan and point one of your languid, graceful feet toward the package where it rests on her bed. Oh, you want me to get dressed up first? So greedy. She nuzzles her beautiful face against your forehead. She tisks her tongue. But it isn't an extreme scolding, she's just being teasing. When she draws away from you, sets you down on the bed, stands up, you reflect briefly on the vulnerability of your position, laying helpless before her on the bed. Then her eyes begin to glow from within. It is a molten, golden light. You feel your chin move. You lean up off the bed a little. You wish to be closer to that light, closer to her. The wish is a physical thing in your head, dragging your thoughts and your view around until you can grasp nothing else but staring directly at her. A sweetness begins between your legs. It flows through the rest of you in a giddy wave, like butterflies or love. The hot light cordial of desire, but also admiration for her beauty. Whatever that light shines upon, in your mind, gold fills your eyes. When she speaks, the light shining on your mind, her voice is honey, butter, polished bands encircling your brain. I guess you crave more of what I can do. Very well. This one time, we'll do it your way. There is the bed that you lay on, with purple and silver hangings. The sunlight from above shines down. You are back where you remember being, but no memory exists in your head except for a strange sense of déjà vu. Déjà vu is often surprising, though, and this gold light is anything but. This gold light is home, and it is beauty. Pretty feminine beauty. It instills a desire in you to be more like the princess you observe. But you still feel too relaxed and sleepy to do anything about it. In fact, you've been trained to be relaxed and sleepy. The golden light of the sun reflects off the floor and onto the underside of the peaceful silky hangings above, the top canopy sheet of the four-poster bed. The light reflected there seems to form a spiral, just for you, just within you. The bed smells perfumed and like spices. The covers are neatly made, but she mussed them up when she took that bundle and when she laid you on it. She reaches out, her hand resting on your cheek. She needn't turn your head toward her because you're already looking back at her eyes. You feel power. Something inexplicable flows from her into you. You see her glowing, her entire body framed in silver light. Influential, then gold, the blaze of heat and comfort. She says, "Watch." And suddenly the possibility of doing anything else is utterly foreclosed. From the bag, the shiny silver bag, it matches her hair perfectly. She removes a slim tube about as long as her index finger, and a little thicker around. It is beyond ornate. It is golden with a trim like vines made of the sun. Her eyes reflect off of it. You reflect in it. So pretty, shiny, perfect. You are comfortable laying on the bed, your eyes dazed, your body at peace. Her control washes over you. Your awareness of her is everything. Awareness of all other things can fade away. She is so pretty, so graceful as she unscrews the top of that ornate tube. and reveals something dazzling within. A sliver of sunlight, sure, but it's easy to look at. Nay, it is essential to look at. Some part of your brain makes your head loll back and forth on your neck. You fall backward onto the pillow. But you can still watch as she pushes that golden sliver of radiance to her lips. What it leaves behind is less bright. It is matte and metallic, but it is glistening with captured gold from the rays of the sun. It glitters, like there's silvery light somewhere mixed in with the gold sparkles, a coating of sparkles covering her lips, gold unquestionably predominating. Though she is seated on the chair by her vanity across the room now, slowly applying that coating to her lips, you feel radiant warmth off of her and into you. Such a peaceful feeling. You feel admiration for her beauty, for the painted lips and the sensual glittering pucker as she spreads it around on them, seeing her lips fold a bit, briefly becoming thin when she rubs them together to spread the golden lipstick evenly. But this is so much more than just lipstick. Looking at her golden lips, the darkness vanished, the dawn breaking. You feel arousal like a shot of lust potion from your belly through your whole body. But then it converts, changes, metamorphoses, as if a second ingredient were added to catalyze with the first. Now, the fervent desire that is normally arousal changes when she rubs her lips together, changes into a desire to sleep for her, sink for her. You watch the shapely golden curves of her lips rubbing together, lubricated with golden makeup, shimmering. In the glitter glow of it, you feel safe and calm, inducted and welcomed into something. Sparks of energy move along her lips, runic symbols visible beneath the gold, but that's all right. They are of her, from her, her returned to her power. Her power over you. She keeps rubbing her lips together far longer than is necessary. And you know she's just doing it because you're her audience. Your eyes watch her lips as she moves swirls of the gold makeup around, sending more power and magic into the air, the heat into you, the hunger for her, the hunger for the feminine, the hunger to kiss, to be kissed, to be brought under control, to see her lips move and hear the whispers of that control. That hunger only intensifies. She screws the tube closed and sets it on her vanity table. She's taking her time, and the silver bag still rests on her lap, and you know it's not empty. She pauses to whisper, and each word comes with a movement of her lips. You watch as she speaks, and you sink. That's right, pet, look, stare at my lips. She purses, puckers, kisses. You feel your mind being kissed away. The gentle touch of her control is so much like a kiss anyway. And you sink into it. She removes a small round case from that bag, also gold, ornate, and decorated. She clicks open its clasp. Her delicate fingers, so slim, so beautiful, she removes a cloth square from the bag. She rubs it along the contents of the case she has opened, whatever they may be. When she holds the cloth up, it shimmers golden. She purses her lips, for indeed, though you are tracking the golden cloth out of the corner of your eye, as she rubs whatever substance was in it all over it, you're also watching her lips at all times. You must. When she makes a little smooching movement and sound in the air, you see a cloud of golden vapor emanate from her lips and waft toward you. The scent of spices comes closer. It touches down on your cheek and you feel the buzz of magic loosed from your body. You shiver. It feels incredible. And it makes you more inclined as you stare at her pursed, moist, golden lips and her hand bringing that gold-hued pigment from the case up toward her eyes. It makes you more inclined to envy her beautiful femininity. It makes you watch her. The scent of spices comes closer. Then the kiss. Cloud of golden vapor escaping from her lips wafts toward you. Touches you again. Makes you feel better. Golden light filters from below her eyes as she closes her eyelids. The golden light makes you feel the way she feels. You envision feeling pretty, feminine, exalted like her. The way you would squirm and enjoy touching your own body. And you really do feel that way more and more. Her little ritual of preparation is preparing you, getting inside your head and making you ready. Makes you wait for the deluge, the waves of happy acceptance that you know will come. She wipes the cloth with gold pigment on it from the little case across her closed eyelids. You see gold paint left in the wake of the cloth. She still has her lips pursed as if to kiss someone. And you're the only one there. You feel her kiss across the distance between you. She's sitting a few feet away, but the place that that cloud of wafting gold dust touched down on you, that's where the kiss arrives when she smooches her lips. You feel a gentle peck there. Her eyes are closed, and it's as if the world dims. She is still meticulously applying stripes of that golden makeup with the cloth, then blending it across the eyelids. You feel like an extension of her will. A thrall, you imagine your own eyes getting heavy, as if they were heavy gold. But it is only light. The light of her eyes, in fact. She moves the cloth aside and reveals her golden, shimmering eyelids. She bats her lids a few times, lashes, shedding glittering dust, glittering light. It has nothing to do with any physical substance. It's just the truth of her. The result is a beautiful and exacting gold finish, and waves of gold dust floating in the air that make you feel hazier than you already did. This whole space is golden. She has a lot of attention to detail for someone who is closing both eyes at once and applying her own makeup. Yes, her eyes being closed makes everything else dim, even the sun and the sky above. Dim, by comparison, to that golden makeup. You see those golden lips moving, they smile, they purse, she licks them briefly. A tiny bit of gold on her tongue entrances you as it spirals away back into her mouth, vanishes and pours back onto her lips as though magnetized to remain upon them. Easy to get your makeup perfect when it has a mind of its own. And now the picture of her is complete. You notice the makeup on her lips flows in golden swirls even when she isn't moving them. The makeup on her eyelids spirals gold into the air toward you. Waves of golden circling light, traveling mystical in the air, wrapping around you until a halo of gold, your own personal light show, flows off of her and sends your brain away to a submissive pet space in your head. She bats her eyes, letting them close lazily, then open brightly. Your eyes begin to get heavier in sympathy. A few times they flutter closed, so heavy. And you feel another kiss in the spot that golden vapor painted on your cheek. A kiss which traveled through the air. You know she puckered your lips, kissed the air, and that sensation transferred to you. So beautiful, such a perfect connection. Then the gold still in front of you, inside of you. Around you. Your eyelids are closed, but the golden light will forever remain in your mind. The sound of her chair scooting closer. She begins to speak. You're alone with me now, but we need to get you nice and pliable. The next step needs to become part of you, pet, so listen and sink. Your brain falls, your mind sinks, your body drifts, you fall away until all that remains is the part of you that's mine. which gradually becomes all of you, as bits of you sleep, tense, sinking under my control. You feel how close I am, how warm. See the gold in your head, my lips moving, my eyes shutting, your eyes shutting. But you still see mine, still see the gold on the eyelids, still see the gold from under the eyelids. Yes, you're close to me and you're mine. Listen, sink, be mine. 9, deeper, mine, deeper, 8, slowly sinking, 7, down, with every word I say, 6, makes you need more, 5, sink, mine, 4, more and more, deeply down, 3, you and me here, listening, sinking, 2, every word I say to you, into your head, until you're connected, until you're open, until the warm golden light has washed away your mind in a deluge, leaving you here in a singular moment, one deep moment, as my pet. Finally, truly relaxed and deep, you feel the fog close in as she speaks, a patter of words that now arrives underneath your conscious awareness, but it flows. The two of you in the humid, sensual dark, you in the dark inside your head, your eyes too closed and heavy to move. You feel as she scoots her chair right up to the very edge of the luxurious princess bed with its beautiful hangings. And then she extends her legs, still bare and devoid of any covering, but you know that won't last long. You can tell they're bare because they're rubbing against your legs. But then she orders you, open your eyes, pet. And you do. You see her bare legs, but see she's holding something in her hands, right against the tips of her perfect toes. A silver stocking, waiting to be rolled up her leg. You're so eager. You want her to put them on, but you find it impossible to speak. And then she begins the slow process of unrolling it up her leg, starting at the tip of her toes, and then up halfway along the feet, the slow hypnotic movement of unrolling her stocking onto her leg. You feel your whole body sigh with relief. This is what you were waiting for. She's so pretty. And your mind, which was already hazy, has difficulty keeping your eyes open, but you know you have to watch. In fact, it made you feel very nice when she brought you back up from the little trance she put you in. And you know you'll fall back in. Your whole body, warm and pleased and relaxed. Then she rolls it up and it reaches her knee. She rolls it a little higher. It's headed all the way toward her thigh, her leg covered in silvery, perfect metallic material. Wonderful to behold. Same color as her hair, really. The beauty of her, the gold light from her eyes, from her lips, from her wonderful form, casts along the silvery stocking. And then she's done, and the first one's on, and it's perfect. It's like it's bonded to her. It stays there, and she lays that silvery material against your leg, and you feel its smoothness and beauty radiating into you. You just feel like a good pet. Those words come from her, in fact. Good, pretty pet. And that does jive with what she said earlier. She clearly finds you quite alluring. Then she reaches a second stocking out of the bag, brings it to the tips of the bare toes on her other leg, and begins to unroll it. You feel a profound sigh of pleasure and peace pass through your body from the tips of your toes to the top of your head as she unrolls in one smooth, perfect motion, unrolling the pretty stocking up the other leg, making the picture complete. You look at her lips as she purses and kisses, and then she keeps unrolling. The golden image in your mind mingling with the silver, becoming the spiral that all this time has stolen your mundane thoughts away. and left you just a pretty pet, deepened in so many different ways that you are profoundly distanced from the you who was, and made into the you who is, her good, pretty pet, observing the stockings slip onto her smooth, shiny legs, leaving you suspended, leaving you observing. Her silver hair disheveled, she's wearing stockings. You are yearning for them. You need it. You love it. You need more. When she's done tugging them on, you can hear the smile in her voice as she says, "There, pet, isn't that perfect?" But you feel too winded, too tensed with pleasure, too joyously lithe and pretty to respond. Of course, there's that distant pall of concern in your mind. Concern that you are not pretty enough. Concern that she is humoring you. Concern that in this place where only the feminine and beautiful is normally allowed, you might be out of place. And even that vanishes because then you feel her stocking-clad legs slide under your own, raising your feet up, propping your calves on her stockinged legs. The shiny silver in contact with you is bliss and euphoria in your gently escaping mind. You feel so pretty to be here, to be in her presence and allowed to accessorize the scene of her gold and silver triumph. How could it be better? It turns out the way it could be better is simple. She turns you on the bed, strong and effortless just like before. Turns you enough that your toes are pointing toward her. She touches your toes, running her beautiful hands, still with a bit of golden residue all over them. You feel pleasure tingle into your mind, your body. She runs her hands over your feet and begins to rub. Then she rubs something silvery over the heel of one foot. You know what this is? This is your pair. And those words shiver across your consciousness. You realize that you're going to be so pretty as she first starts to unroll those silvery stockings over your foot. You feel them moving slowly up, and it is torturously slow, one foot rolling the stockings, her delicate fingers making sure to get them just so, lined up just so, and when they slide on, the silvery material covers your foot, and you feel your whole body echo in the shiver of it, as if the nervous system were linked to those stockings, warm and arousing in your brain. Yes, so good, and this is a more intense feeling. Your body feels so good. She runs her hands over it, and you can tell from the way she moves her fingers that she's treasuring the sensation of touching your body. And then, when she reaches the knee, she rolls the stocking the rest of the way up in one long movement, a steady, warm wave that doesn't stop at the top of your leg. It goes up through the trunk of your body to the top of your head, warm. Yes, yes, you just feel exalted and pretty. Your back arches, your thighs shiver. It is a glamorous, luxurious sensation to have her slide that stocking up, put it firmly in place, and then drop your leg onto the bed, and your mind drops deeper too. You feel like you'd do anything she said as gratitude for feeling so wonderful in these stockings. She takes the second leg and begins to roll the stocking up in a smooth movement, an inevitable movement, as if a wave of warmth from the tip of your toes up, up the leg, and again, she just does it in one long motion until she slaps it into place at the top of your thigh and leaves you shivering with a second stocking-clad silvery leg, your mind lost in the gold and silver of constant pleasure, and you feel her lean in and whisper, "Look, pet." And you open your eyes slow there and see at the foot of the bed the guards from before with their silver hair and silver stockings, staring at your legs, whispering, whimpering, "So pretty, so pretty." And you realize even the gatekeepers of this place say that it's completely right for you to be here. And then she leans in by your ear, the princess whispering, "My pet, And those stockings prove it. You're just like me now. She holds up her stocking-clad leg, the silver attractively set next to the silver of your own stockings. She leans down and whispers, "Mine always." My words in your head. Memory of this there with you. And no matter where you are or what you do, even if you think you're not wearing those, they're still in your head, along with my words and my control, because you're my pet. And any time you need to be reminded, you can just think back to this memory, and you'll feel your mind traveling along, and you'll feel compelled to do a certain little thing. You'll find stockings like these, you'll slip them on, and you'll come for me, nice and slow, just like you would if you were trying to luxuriously draw out the orgasm. And your brain will go back here and remember, because you're still connected to me, no matter where you wake, no matter where you drift. You feel your eyes close when she snaps her fingers, but she's still talking, and so you're able to cling on, drifting in the wake, dreaming in the moment, hearing, so pretty, as your legs and their stockings are admired, as you are admired, gorgeous in the moment, pretty enough to be hers. And you know she chooses wisely. Then her words continue, "Yes, sometimes you'll need to feel close to me, and then you can put on your stockings, touch yourself, and remember everything about this. Remember."